And good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and I'd like to welcome everyone to the Interoperability Standards Work Group. I really appreciate everyone joining us today. All of our work group meetings are open to the public, and your feedback is always welcomed, which could be typed in the Zoom chat feature throughout the meeting, or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:55 Eastern Time this morning. I'm going to begin roll call of our work group members. So when I call your name, please let us know if you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs. Sarah DeSilby.
Here.
Marie Sunder Rajan.
Here.
Pooja Babra.
Here.
Tyler Blend.
Here.
Ricky Bloomfield is not able to join us today. Hans Bootner.
I was able to join, Ricky. So I'm here. Yeah.
Thank you. Great. Thank you. Hans.
Good morning.
Christina Caraballo.
Good morning.
Grace Cordovana. Raj Dash.
Good morning. Here.
Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Nidra Garrett.
Good morning.
Raj. Good morning, Nidra. Raj Gavarti. Bryant Thomas Karras. Stephen Lane.
Hello.
Sun Lu.
Good morning.
Meg Marshall. Anna McAllister.
Good morning.
Glenn McDonald. Devin McGraw is not able to join us today. Aaron Meary. Aaron Neinstein.
Good morning.
Kiki Lama Ocean Canton is also not able to join us today. I think a few people are coming back from the conference in Tennessee. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Michelle Schreiber.
Good morning.
Kelly Spiro.
Good morning.
And Ram Sharam.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much. And now please join me in welcoming Sarah and Naresh for their opening remarks.
Welcome, everyone, and thanks for your patience with me as I got my audio set. We have a very big day today as we try to wrap up a review of all of the elements in USCD IV and in level two elements, carrying over some conversations, really trying to move through a few things that we did not address last time. I will not delay us any further. You can see we have a whole set of kind of cleanup, and then again, we'll close in the meeting with urging, I am formally urging everyone to try to take a stab at final recommendations in the share drive if you have not already done so. Next slide, please. And actually, Naresh, any other further comments?
No, I think that's pretty much what we were planning to do for today. Like Sarah mentioned, your comments are going to be really valuable for us in our drafting and final. So please make sure whenever you get a chance to update that as soon as possible.
Thank you so much. Next slide, please. Next slide. The charge is now well known. We really are at the level of working through the level two elements. We have formally reviewed all of the draft USCID 4 elements. There are a host of level two elements that we have to wrap up today. And we're really grateful for folks leaning in and carrying that forward. Again, thank you, Stephen and Mark and the CDC and CMS and everyone who's gonna be leading us through the next kind of level two elements review over the course of the next few minutes. Next slide, please. So here is what we just mentioned. So as of now, all of the draft USCID IV elements have been reviewed and disposed of. We are trying to capture the nuances we discussed in the ISWG in our final recommendations. So again, if you can volunteer to kind of synthesize that, that's great. You can always reach out to people who had comments in the workgroup discussion element for clarity. Next slide, please. And then I think we're going to wrap up. We have very strict time limits on each of these sections because we have a lot to discuss. But as we know, last time we had an initial presentation of DI and there was some really important conversation. There's been a lot of work happening in the interim. So we're hoping to make a disposition in short order of the DI data elements, the three elements that were discussed last week. turning the mic over to Stephen Lane to help catch us up on where we are so we can carry through the discussion. Again, noting that we do have time constraints and I will be holding us to that in order to complete that objective today.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Really appreciate it. And I really appreciate, as you say, all the work that has been done in the background. We left off at the end of our last call where the work group generally felt that the three diagnostic imaging data elements that had been discussed, the imaging reference, the requested procedure identifier, and the accession number could all add value as components in the final USCDI version 4. Hans and Ike both raised some questions as to how ready the industry was to be able to support all three of those data elements. I think the requested procedure ID and the accession number really not a super high lift as these elements do exist and can be readily exchanged today. The imaging reference, which was really the main focus of our discussion, which provides the path and other technical metadata information required to find where the image is, I think is the main question as to whether systems are really ready to exchange those, because this path data is sometimes kept within the EHR, the Certified Health IT Systems. It really derives from the imaging systems themselves. And as we heard last time, the folks who are actually moving forward vendor agnostic image exchange, both within Argonaut and Care Quality, were quite supportive of the inclusion of this path data, the feeling that it did support and advance the work that they are doing. Hans went back and discussed this with the EHRA, has identified some specific concerns, just that again, this data is not often in the EHR, questions about what is the right sequence to be able to advance image exchange in terms of where adding these elements to USCDI will have the most benefit. What I did was I tried to synthesize these recommendations in the spreadsheet. I don't know if we're prepared to display that, but basically I do think that we are in a good position to recommend as a work group the inclusion of all three of these data elements from level 2 into USCDI version 4, with an acknowledgement that not all health IT systems currently capture or maintain this information, but that the requirement to exchange it when it is available would really advance the ability of both individuals and providers to access, exchange, and use diagnostic images and the associated DICOM data files, and that this builds on available technology, knowing that over time between now and when USCDI V4 will be required, through rulemaking, that there will be time to see the fruition of both the Care Quality and the Argonaut initiatives and see this really advance diagnostic imaging going forward. So again, I know Ricky and Hans have both really been involved in this. I leave it to you to call on others who might want to speak to this.
I believe Al is navigating us to the share drive so we can see the draft of Stephen's recommendation as a synthesis of this. Hans? Oh, I'm sorry, who was first? Was it Ike
looks
or
like,
was it
Hans? Looks like Steve was first.
Okay, Ike?
I'll flip the coin with you, but thank you. That's great to hear, Dr. Lane. Really appreciate that. And that part sounds good. I think the second area that we were concerned about is not so much the other part of the lift, is really looking at the utility of access and concerns about broadband deployment to enable actual access to the data in many parts of the country that are not urban or close suburban components. And while that's not directly in the sphere of the task force, something in me wants to think that we need to address it or comment on it somewhere in that space. That's another dependency in actually looking at the successful exchange of this information.
Yeah, it's a really good point, And we know that if you're viewing an image in a viewer, that doesn't require nearly the broadband capability as if you're downloading a full DICOM image file. It's clear that DICOM, you know, like genomic files, you know, are large files that are going to be challenging to move around in rural areas. As you say, I don't know how much that bears on whether or not one includes the path information, for example, you know, in USCDI, but it is worth acknowledging the challenges that we face in many areas.
Yeah, and to me, I mean, that's a textual note and a recommendation, kind of acknowledging that as a framework that, again, this is one of those, yes, you can include it. Yes, the data standards should be included. However, there may still be some functional implementation issues. Again, not that you can't exchange a low-res image pretty much anywhere in the country, if not anywhere in the world, but it's, when you start getting to clinical quality images, it becomes a bit of a different story. So I just think if we could figure out a way of noting that in our recommendation so that ONC can acknowledge it down the line, and maybe it feeds into other pieces later on.
Would you mind taking a stab of it in the final recommendation, building off of what Steve?
Happy to do that. Looks like Ricky and Hans both have their hands up.
Ricky?
I think Hans was first.
Somehow my hand got unraised. I probably hit the button. Appreciate that, Ricky. A couple of thoughts is that to clarify the discussion there, and I really appreciate Stephen pulling a number of these topics together, but they're in line with some of the considerations that Ike is bringing up as well. First of all, there is no argument that these elements are valuable. Just to make sure that it's clear, it is about the dependencies and the readiness to move forward. So a couple of clarifications and looking at the proposed recommendation as well. There is good work going on, particularly in care quality among image service providers to advance it. And that is really an important part to help address the, if you will, public or easily accessibility of the images as they are being shared. I'll come back to that in a second. And the second part is that Argonaut is in the process of starting to work and focus on that. So current implementation is a little bit challenging to call that. It is trying to figure out what are really the gaps and the barriers that need to overcome. And between now and when USCDI version 4 would be published, Argonaut may or may not have recommendations and considerations around that, and may or may not at that point in time have an indication that is it more viable in version 4 already or not, from a standards perspective in particular, on what's needed to do that. So I think the recommendation should further acknowledge that care quality has progressed further with actual implementations among service providers. Not yet really with EHRs, and Argonaut is working in the progression to better understand and identify opportunities to take steps. But it's all in the context of where are we at? When the critical part is indeed the image reference, and that means is that given that EHRs mm-hmm. are typically not storing the kind of images that you would access through an imaging study. Simple images are already addressed in USCDI version 2, version 3, FIUS Core has the ability to support that. Simple images are already there. But it's those complex diagnostic images where you rely on it being somewhere else. So it is a reference, it is the data on how to get there. So the issue at hand there, and it's similar as what Ike is bringing up with the bandwidth challenges, broadband issues there, is that A, we need to make sure, and what is then the incentive or the driver that mm-hmm. services provide that information consistently with the reports and otherwise. USCDI typically is not focused on that set of HIT. It's typically focused on EHRs that are, in this case, on the receiving end of it. So what do we need to highlight to indicate work needs to be done to ensure that that's being picked up? The second part is that as that's being made available today, And not considering care quality where there's the opportunity to advance that, but if you're not in that kind of an environment yet, and as they are building it out, is that that information is now shared with an EHR or to another, from that EHR to somebody else, to a patient, et cetera. Can they use that information and actually access it? Today, that's based on point-to-point business relationships, trust frameworks, and otherwise to make it work. So yes, the technology and the standards enable that to do, but how do we make sure that from a patient perspective, receiving that image reference and in their environments, going from one provider to the next provider, et cetera, they don't have that original business relationship and that that connection there. Care quality is a way to help expand that, to have it sitting under a common trust framework if you're part of care quality and once it's expanded into that area. So I think from an implementation perspective, we need to include a couple of caveats that while the underlying technology and the standards would enable it and that initial implementations have demonstrated that that can work, only putting it into USCDI version 4 is not solving those other problems and needs to be recognized that before it really can be picked up widely and that it's deployed widely, consistently scalable without point-to-point business relationships, and that it does agree to a trust and a security framework, that this will be problematic that, yes, I share it, but you cannot do anything with it. That's the challenge, I think, that is the rationale why in the discussion within the EHRA, there is hesitancy to say, is this the right time? Or do we need to get some of those other things addressed first or as well to ensure that the full end-to-end process can work? UCDI, in the way that's currently used and applied, certified HIT, where it would impact actual HIT to make it work, sits on one side of the equation, on the receiver end of it, not the source end of it, and not with the other aspects in place. That's the concern that has been raised. And if we can clarify that as part of the recommendation to say, we recognize that that needs to be addressed and ONC should work with the parties. How can we advance care quality? How does that fit with TEFCA? How can we make sure that it's a scalable framework within which you can do it? Then I think we can have the traction that we want to get. But without that, we have a good probability of implementing something on one side of the fence, where the other side of the fence is not quite providing the information consistently across the board, everybody, and that the trust framework is fully scalable. So I don't need to negotiate another business relationship with that source, be it as a patient, or be it as somebody else, to do that. That's the similar kind of concern as was Ike is raising on the broadband side of it. Is it going to be scalable? Will enough people have access to it when we do that on day one? So that needs to be part of the context of the recommendation to recognize that. So otherwise, we are probably implementing something that, yes, we can have some of the data in there, but what it's going to do.
Steven, any thoughts in response to that? Should I move on to Ricky? I'll let Steven.
Yeah, moving on to Ricky's comments would be perfect. I'm continuing to work on.
Okay, Ricky. Steven, that's the theorist in the recommendation. Thank you, Ricky.
It's clear that this is a topic of that has a lot of nuance, and I appreciate Hans's feedback here and Steven for herding the cats. And I think what I have heard is that we're all pretty consistently saying that we need to figure out a path towards making this data available via API. It sounds like that's a pretty clear goal. And the questions are around the implementation details, which are completely valid. And as we've been chatting, I've been trying to solicit input from Brett Marquard and Josh Mandel as well, from the Argonaut perspective, to understand a little bit more around some of the implementation considerations from that perspective, to make sure that we're not putting something in USCDI and then throwing it over to other organizations to do work that may not be feasible. And the feedback that I'm getting, I'll try to summarize the feedback that I've gotten from them, is that it seems like the accession number and the procedure ID should be relatively easily accessed. And I think they would defer to Hans as to whether smaller EHR vendors have the capability of providing that information, whereas you know, pretty clearly the large ones would. But based on Hans's feedback, it sounds like that those would be relatively feasible. Brett and Josh did share some concerns as well about the image reference. In particular, whether the radiology information systems or PACS vendors can provide that reliably today, as well as the motivation and requirement for them to do so. Very similar to the feedback that has already been shared. I think the biggest concern they had was they don't want to have some sort of image reference that leads to a dead end that isn't usable. And so I think that's reasonable. The high level question here is, what is the right path to indicate publicly that it should be a priority to make the imaging files directly available? And what I'm hearing here is that maybe USCDI has some role, but not the complete role in doing that. And are there other things that ONC may consider to indicate that this is a priority in order to get the right stakeholders in the ecosystem to get involved in the Care Quality Initiative or Argonaut so that this work can be done on a voluntary basis? Rather than using the kind of brute force of USCDI. So that's, I'm trying to summarize what Josh and Brett have shared, but I think that's the gist of it.
So this is Clem. There's some other aspects of the images, you know, like a chest x-ray is 12 bits often, and you got to have transforms to 8 bits to make it visible to people typically. And with scaling, have we talked about that at all, or whether, you know, how it's going to show up actually to the user if you don't have a full DICOM? I guess that's what I'm really asking.
Clem, I don't really think that that's the issue here. I mean, including these data elements in USCDI is not going to dictate, you know, whether and how an end user system actually, you know, displays the image.
And maybe also to clarify, I think we want to be clear, we're talking about references. Mm-hmm. I don't think the expectation is that the system receiving the reference will ingest the full image and renders it themselves. They will use the reference with a viewer of their liking or that's available to then, in combination with the reference data, to access the data somewhere else. In the PAC system, whomever actually has the image. And as part of that, those viewers and the capabilities there have a variety of opportunities to then render it appropriately for the context that you're doing. So it's not really sharing the image. It's enabling somebody to access the image in a real way.
Okay, thanks.
So this brings us to time, and I want to thank Sarah for the opportunity to work on this together. I've crafted a recommendation here. I think, Hans, you've offered to wordsmith this a bit, but it sounds like we're coming to a place that we'll be able to move this recommendation forward.
That is my feeling as well. So as long as we capture the concerns and the levers, such as the work going on in Care Quality and Argonaut, we've already tried to capture some of the broadband and rural perspectives. Do I hear that as being the consensus of the group at this time, understanding that Hans has some editings to do?
Yes.
And I'm going to do that in a separate cell next to it, so to work with it, so I'm not changing Steve's language right now in the box.
Thanks, Hans.
Thank you, Hans. Thank you for the incredible effort on this rapidly over the last few weeks. Just very, very grateful for all the effort that went into this. I believe in the name of keeping on time, we are segueing into Pooja representing medication elements, some of the level two elements that she took lead on, and along with some other colleagues in the pharmacy world. Pooja?
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. And I'm hoping this won't take the full 10 minutes because part of it is I'm going to actually turn it over to others that had recommended these. But we had a couple of, I think we have four level two data elements that our colleagues at CMS and CEDC had brought forward. So starting with line 36, or row 36, I should say, the discharge medications. And just real briefly, I know that NCPDP has a task group that's always looking at regulations that come out. And so they did have a chance to review all the level two data elements, and they did not have any additional ones to bring forward. So there was the discharge medication that our CDC and CMS recommended to include. I know Shelley and I had a chance to review that, and we agree with the recommendation to bring that forward. And then if you go down to rows 48, 49, and 50, there were additional level two data elements that CMS and CDC had recommended to bring forward. That included medication administration, medication route, and medication prescribed code. And again, Shelley and I had a chance to review those and agree with the CMS and CDC recommendations to have those included. So I am going to turn that over to Shelley. I know she had one additional comment on those. And then I think if we don't have any additional discussion, we will actually turn it over to Michelle when it's her time to talk a little bit more about that. So,
thank you so much, Pooja. Shelley?
Thank you. And thank you, Pooja. What we did was worked with the NCPDP work group task group that Pooja had mentioned, but we also went back to the pharmacy HL7 work group and got their comments on it also. The pharmacy work group has agreed in the future at HL7 to begin to look at this in more detail, especially around the definitions and the standards that are named under the HL7 pharmacy work group. We want to respect what CDC and CMS is using today, and the need for these data elements are important, and that's why we agree with them. We did, under prescribed code, add from the NCPDP comments additional information about using NDC for that prescribed medication code, because those are some of the both RX norm and NDC are used as prescriber codes in the e-prescribing script standard. And so we agree with what CDC is putting out, and if they feel it's important, CDC and CMS is important to move forward, we believe that we can work with their request to move this to out of level two.
Before we shift to the CDC and CMS section, I wonder if either Shelley or Pooja can address Aaron's question in the chat, which seems appropriate for the regarding whether the definition of discharge medication includes the full list that's reconciled at discharge, or if it's only the medications prescribed at discharge.
Well, that's an interesting question, because we don't talk about it in USCDI as to the source of the data. So it is going to have to be still interpreted by those who are creating that that discharge list. So I assume it's what is ever in the discharge summary as the discharge medication list. Again, that's interpreted at the generated level. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, it looks like it, as written, it is what's prescribed at discharge is what we have as written.
Thank you.
Okay. Then I might add a comment to that then in the notes here, just saying that if we're talking about coordination of care, what's prescribed at discharge doesn't necessarily reflect true coordination of care, because it may only be a subset of the current medication list at time of discharge.
Yeah, that's a great point, Erin. And I think I put that comment in. So in the recommendation, we'll make sure to take that out.
And then Al, before we shift, Al Taylor.
I just wanted to, this is sort of related to Erin's question. As everybody knows, medication, which includes the ARCS norm code for a medication, is already a data element in US CDI. I just wanted to suggest that the final recommendations take a stab at differentiating between medication administration code, which I believe is the code for the medication that was administered, and the code for the medication prescribed, to differentiate between those particular kinds of medication and the one that's already in US CDI.
All right, I got that noted. Thank you, Al.
Yep.
So I believe it's the desire of Pooja and Shelley to move on to CDC and CMS to carry the torch on these concepts as they're part of what the CDC and CMS originally presented. Is that correct, Pooja?
Yeah, if that group's okay with it, I'll yield my time to them.
Michelle, are you okay continuing the presentation of these level 2 elements, which include the ones Pooja and Shelley commented on from the perspective of the pharmacy work group?
So just a couple of comments first, and thank you. We put in around facility information and facility identifiers. We formalized those recommendations and put them into the spreadsheet, and I don't think we'll go through those now. As was outlined already on medications, I think you've seen what's there, and then we had a couple of others, but I'm going to turn to Joel Andrus to go through the rest of the spreadsheet. So thanks, Joel.
All right, thank you, Michelle. Can everyone hear me all right?
Yeah, thanks, Joel.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. So I think I think a lot of what we were wanting to say has already been discussed to some extent, and we've covered medications, I think, many times already in previous versions, and our arguments for these have not substantially changed. I think the comment about wanting to capture true care coordination versus just the medications that are present on discharge is an interesting one. I think ideally you'd want to be in a situation where you're capturing medications on discharge from an encounter at all points in encounters. From a practical standpoint, obviously that's not the case. And I think that's something we're gonna need to think about exactly how that fits and what we're looking at. The medications at discharge is particularly critical for our work on quality measures because it defines the point at which medications are being prescribed to patients, allows us to orient responsibility for receiving prescriptions from care providers, as well as being able to identify that the prescriptions are the timing for those prescriptions. So clearly this is relevant to the work that we're doing on medication management, and this entire area has been a source of difficulty for documentation for us because of the complexities involved, and that's why there are so many particular data elements associated with medication that we're trying to get at a lot of the complexities that have come up as we've looked to develop measures. And so that's why you see so many pieces to the puzzle here. And as we talk through them, of course, it only seems to become increasingly complex. So I think discharge medications, we've already said essentially all we plan to say on it, so I won't belabor it too much. Below that, we have the medication administration and medication administered code. This is a part of our desire to look for greater specificity in the data class. specifically for medication administration, the completion of that administration provides important clinical information to ensure appropriate care, and is used in our quality measures as well as public health reporting systems, including vital records, in order to manage medication assessment and provision. The current concept of medications in the USCDI doesn't differentiate among the medications that are currently active, ordered, and actually being administered or prescribed to the patient. And this is a point of contention that rises with some frequency as we're developing measures and trying to get at precisely what has been administered versus what has simply been prescribed. As I think all of you are aware, that does not, those do not always equate to the same thing. And so for that reason, we're recommending that this level two data element be pushed forward to the to version 4 of the USCDI to allow for greater granularity of data capture. Nedra, do you want to comment on this data element specifically now, or would you prefer to come in after we've gone through the various data elements?
I'm basically concurring with everything that you said. You know, we work together on, you know, our joint justification and support of these data elements. And so basically just concurring with, you know, with what you're saying, it is important clinical information for us, for some of our public health reporting systems that include vital records, electronic case reporting, for example, routine HIV and TB surveillance, and antibiotic use and resistance. So just continue to be supportive of, you know, what you're saying. We concur with those recommendations for medication administered code as well as medication administration. We have joint priorities on that, on those. Over.
All right, thank you. I assume y'all want me to go through the full list before we open up to further discussion. Is that correct?
Maybe we should complete the medication elements and then pause and then have a comments on that, and then we can segue into the non-medication elements. Joel, does that sound good?
Certainly, that's fine with me.
Sarah, this is Shelley. I wonder if I could just make a comment that might help Joel and the CDC and Nedra and Michelle understand where we're coming from the standard standpoint. We do not have a code for defining which medications are discharged. We don't even have a fire resource for the different types of lists. And so I'm wondering if that's the intent, that you want a specific code for a discharge medication or an active medication that is not necessarily available today. What is available are put into fire resources on how that list is actually used and identified, whether that's in a care plan or whether that's in a discharge summary. You have a list there, but I don't believe it's codified as to this particular medication, which would be what Al was talking about, that medication already has a code using RxNorm or NDC, but we don't have a code that's going to say this RxNorm or NDC code is for discharge or for med administration or for active med list, if that makes sense.
No, I think I understand the distinction that you're making. I think the question is the question is it sufficient to simply say that we have the list and these measures come from this list, and so they because they come from this list, then they are considered to be discharge medications. Yes. I think that is probably not the final ideal state, but I think it's a reasonable starting point. I think the something that CMS can do and CDC can do jointly is pursue whether or not additional coding to identify whether a medication is being provided on discharge is something that we can develop for future consideration in the standards. If that makes sense. So the idea would be to capture the representation in the list now, and then develop the fire resources to get a more specific and granular listing at a later date.
Just noting, we have until 11:20 for this, and there's a lot of things to discuss. So I'm wondering if we can just move through the medication elements again completely, just to be able to get one disposition for those elements, and then we can move on. So we have, and I'm sorry, Ike and Pooja, we're holding just because I figure at least we can. So we have, I believe we went to, it's everything down to entry number, what is it? Entry number 50, right? So we have medication administered code, and then we have the next one, which is
the prescribed code.
Correct. And then we have.
And then we start getting into immunization, I believe.
If we go to the next one, I think that's the full set of medication elements. Have we discussed them all at this time yet? I think so.
I think yes, in broad. And they generally, the rationale for these pieces, and these all represent the metadata around medications that we think need to be captured within the US CDI. And I think the rationale for that is largely consistent across the pieces of this.
Great. Okay.
So I think we can probably leave them there.
Okay. So I'm going to hold for a second, take comments just on the medication elements, and then see if we can dispose of those, then transition to the other elements. So Ike and then Apuja. Ike, quick comments, as we only have 7 minutes left for this whole section. Ike, you're on mute if you're trying to speak.
You got me. I was muted. Sorry. great work by all. I do think that there's value in including comments or observations or recommendations around extending the information about about the status of medications on the discharge list as a future modification, or what ONC and folks might look at to the future. I think as a related issue, we also may want to make a comment about some issues about drugs that are not included in medication lists because they can't be coded with NCPDP codes because they don't exist. Specifically looking at medicines currently in trials that have not yet been approved by the FDA, don't appear in the NCPDP, which means they can't get coded, so they don't appear in the lists. And that's a real problem when you're looking at comprehensive information about patients. And that data does get stuck in a patient note somewhere, but then it's not included in any list generated out of the medication lists for that patient out of the EHR. So that's an endemic issue that is probably worth a note that says, hey, look at this, and figure out a way of extending code sets to include drugs that are not yet FDA approved but are in trial.
Thank you, Ike. I'm going to have Pooja speak, and then we're just going to have a moment to dispose of the medication elements as recommended by the CDC and reviewed by Shelley and Pooja. Pooja?
Yeah, just, and I did put this in the comments, I apologize for the discharge medications. I brought that forward pretty early in the process. My understanding is that we did have fire resources for this. We can decide as a group if we do want to move this forward, but I just wanted to make that note. I'm not sure if we should be recommending that then, if it's still in development. So just open to the group on that particular data element.
given that Shelley's commenting and directly in reference to that, we can entertain with them. I do want to make sure we move on to the other CDC CMS elements as quickly as possible. Shelley?
Yeah, I put in two links into the chat. One is from the Confluence page at HL7, and the other is from US Corps at HL7 related to medication list guidance, and I'd recommend looking at that. I know that the pharmacy work group at HL7 had decided not to create fire resources for medication lists at this time. There's also work that's being done under the EHR burden reduction task group on medication lists, and NCPDP has some work that we're doing under a joint task group in relationship to coming defining the medication list more definitively. So if it's the intent, and I misunderstood what CDC and CMS was asking for, there is no codification that I'm aware of at this time that's going to distinguish a type of medication list. We will be developing it, but it's not ready for prime time.
So I hear, two different paths forward. So there's the idea of review of moving forward all of the elements as written, and then there's one of moving forward and but keeping the discharge medication at level two. Thoughts on moving all forward? And it looks like Al lost his connection, but he'll come back. We can do it without that. Oh, he's coming back. Any thoughts on whether to move them forward collectively? Or should we pause and hold back discharge medications at this time, given Pooja and Shelley's clarification, and move forward all of the others? Honoring the fact, it seems like there's concerns with moving forward all of them. So let's just first move on everything but discharge medications. Do we have consensus for moving forward all those level two elements to USCIV4? Okay, and then discharge medications, what's our disposition for that?
I recommend we keep that as level two for this go around.
Do we agree that pending clarification of how it's built in fire and understanding how to differentiate discharge medications at this time, and Aaron's comments earlier that we're gonna hold this at level two for now and further? Okay, great. Are we in agreement? Okay, now, so everything but discharge medications moving forward, discharge held at level two, hoping to finish the last elements from the CDC CMS presentation. We have a vaccine event record type, orders for end of life care, and et cetera. So moving back to Michelle or Joel or Nedra.
Sure, I can.
With vaccine event type.
Sure. So the event record type, this simply captures whether or not the vaccine event that's being captured is the delivery of a vaccination, or if there is a report of the vaccination or documentation of prior vaccination. So this is an issue that comes up with our documentation of immunizations quite frequently, and it provides additional detail on how the vaccinations are being provided and when, and helps us distinguish between the provision of service versus the confirming that the care has been provided. This is a critical distinction, not just in quality measurement, but also in surveillance and tracking of providing for surveillance of vaccinations in the population at large. And so we recommend that this be included in version four for USCDI. Do you want me to pause, or do you want me to run through the remaining data elements here?
Let's just review them as a set. I mean, even though they're not incredibly related. Oh, actually, Hans has a question. Hans?
Clarification question. I understand that it may not be the current immunization data that's being captured in USCDI version three and below. But it's not clear yet what it actually is, and therefore the clarity that can give us a good sense of where would we have to look when we develop the standards to support that, whether there's something already there or whether that requires a fair amount of work to still pull that together. I'm not sure how to scope this.
Any comments from CDC and CMS to answer Hans's questions or?
Well, along the same route though, there isn't an accepted standard for at least for vaccinations and I think medications, isn't it, in HL7? And are these consistent with that?
Well, with the immunization data that's currently in UCDI version 3 and below, expressed in FHIR with immunization section in CCDA, all correlate to the version 2 vaccination and immunization messaging to reports on a immunization that has occurred. And in that sense, it's historical because it describes exactly, yes, this was provided. Other information it does not about, hey, I'm planning for it or not. And that's is going to be much more of a question to understand, what are we looking at? Is this a kind of a immunization plan? Is that really what the event is? Because we're looking forward in some areas. What is it really that is being looked at to understand how to translate that? Because I'm not seeing a direct relationship yet, other than some vocabulary, into what's the concept that needs to be mapped to or created to support it.
So Hans, let me ask you a question. I think what we're trying to differentiate here is whether or not the vaccine is actually administered during the encounter, or whether or not it was actually historic that the patient said it was administered.
That's part of transactions already as well. So if that is the intent to make sure, it's actually in some standards already, if it needs to be known that I'm reporting this as a historical event, and particularly version 2 already does that, and therefore, if that's what is meant, has clarity on how to progress that into FHIR US Core and CCDA as well. That's part of it versus where it is a now event, as in today I administered the vaccine versus I'm recording that it was done 2 years ago or sometime when I was a kid. Those capabilities are there in the transactions. If that's what's meant, that helps clarify that this should be more straightforward because we already do it in those transactions versus really talking about a new concept.
Well, it's not just a question of whether or not this is something that I did historically and not today, but it's a question of whether or not it's something that the clinician provided or has provided and has direct knowledge of the provision of the vaccine, or if it's something that the patient has reported has occurred, but the clinician doesn't have an independent record or confirmation of it. And that's relevant in a number of places where we collect quality measure data, but it's also relevant for surveillance because it allows ultimately for us to get a view into whether or not these reports are reliable and can be confirmed with other data sources of direct provision of the vaccines. So I think that's a distinction, I think, from what you're describing.
Yeah, that nuance, I would have to check whether that's actually captured and communicated already or whether it's more of it is historical or not. I would have to double check that.
Okay.
You know, Joel, I'm just going to change the plan a little bit because we're going to bleed a little bit into our general review time as long as we have one other element that's not been reviewed. And I know we just started talking about this, but is it okay to consider a disposition of the vaccine event record type at this time so we can move on to the next element? Anyone opposed to moving this forward?
Depending on which part, it might get a little bit challenged. The historical part is typically already reported. The nuance, I'm not convinced that that's there yet, but it needs to be checked. And that would make it more or less complicated to identify how to document that in the standards, in the timelines that we're looking at.
Any other comments from the work group? So is this a move forward? Is this a hold for further analysis, given that we are in final recommendation time? Do we move it forward as it stands?
Can we indicate that the historical part?
Yes.
There's more clarity on that, so that
absolutely, yeah.
that we have consideration around the second part to make sure, is that already captured today consistently, that nuance?
That's helpful, Hans. I think we, and it sounds like we can, and that, and we should, as we have in other areas. Okay, moving on for orders for end of life care.
Sure. So I think the argument here is the same as has been presented previously. I think the utility of this is that it allows for the ready sharing of end of life care orders between providers, as well as sharing it with patients and care and their family and care related care providers. And having access to that information is going to be, you know, obviously critical for coordinating that care, which will involve a number of parties, not just the clinician who's ordering it. And we think that's, you know, going to be a critical element for appropriately managing end-of-life care at the end of the day. So, you know, we're maintaining our previous recommendation of moving this forward into USCDI.
Any comments on this element? Mark is noting the orders for end-of-life care will overlap with a small group recommendation on advanced directive. Can we ask that the two groups reconcile their dispositions to ensure we don't have duplicate recommendations?
That would be helpful.
Sir, I don't think there's any issue about that. I'm just noting that the conceptual overlap.
Wonderful. We'll just cross-check to make sure the disposition and definitions do not conflict or duplicate each other.
Yeah, I think in clinical concept, they are complementary.
Correct. So any concerns with moving forward orders for end of life care as written, understanding the need to clarify distinction from the elements that are contained within advanced directive? Okay, moving forward to emergency department note. Thank you, Joel, for your patience.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. So I think the emergency department notes are here for a couple of critical reasons. One, emergency department visits inherently indicate a degree of care coordination from the emergency department to care following up, following up with the patient, which will likely not be with the emergency department. Emergency departments, so information about what was done and what care was provided, what treatment was offered, and what follow-up steps are necessary should be readily shareable. And so we think it's appropriate for USCDI for that point. There's the additional issue that ED departments are disproportionately responsible for treating historically vulnerable and underserved populations. And so it's more likely that you're going to need this kind of care coordination for these groups and not to simply rely on memory or conversation between the clinicians and the patients. And for that reason, we want to recommend that that clinical notes for the ED department be included as part of the clinical notes data class for version 4.
Any concerns with including emergency department note within the clinical notes data class?
I mean, no concerns, Sarah, but I think it's worth noting that these really are progress notes also, you know, and are really probably already included in USCDI. I know that there are constituents who want to make sure that, for example, operative notes, ED notes, I mean, all of these notes are critical. They're all really important. And we've previously recommended that we simply include them all. They are certainly all included in like EHI as defined. I have no objection to this, but I think the methodology of adding individual note types to USCDI isn't really something that ONC has been enthusiastic about. So, I mean, I think we can recommend it. There's no harm, but I think we need more than just this.
Sorry, we would agree with you that we need more than this, but the fact is when there's just a bunch of progress notes that are coming through, it's hard for people to distinguish one note from another. And with notes that it's really important to be able to distinguish that, operative notes, ED notes in particular, surgical notes.
Agree.
Yeah, there's a document ontology that helps with that. I think we noted in the box.
Wonderful. Ricky?
I would just make a comment. I'm supportive of this as well. I also hear the concern about needing all of the data to come through as part of EHI. That's completely valid. Right now, the way the clinical notes guidance is written, it does indicate specific LOINC codes. And the LOINC codes for emergency department progress note and emergency department discharge note are different from a general progress note and a general discharge note. So I think the guidance here would be to add those specific codes. And I'm assuming you would want both progress as well as discharge note, or are you asking for all notes related to the ED? Because I think that's part of the conversation, is which notes specifically do you want from the emergency department?
I think the most important one is the discharge note from the emergency department. So if we had to have one, it would be that.
Great. I can put some additional links in the document with that information.
And then I'm just going to volunteer you, Ricky, maybe to assist CMS in drafting the final recommendation there, just to make sure it aligns with the necessary included LOINC codes, if that's okay.
I'd be happy to.
Thank you so much. Al? Al, you're muted, so we can't hear you if you want to speak.
Sorry about that. When I reconnected, it remuted me. The point's well taken about multiple different LOINC codes representing multiple different note types from the ER, and kind of consistent with the pattern of ONC's identifying sort of a starter code or a generic code for these different clinical note types is something that we could carry forward and might designate, you know, one of these ER notes, like the ER progress note, LOINC code as the sort of quote unquote starter set or generic code is something that's that could make its way into the recommendation. But that's likely how ONC would sort of process this if we were to consider adding a data element like a clinical note type ER note.
Thank you, Al. So with the clarity on kind of specifics, it sounds like we're in agreement. This is an important note type, and we have we can edit the existing clinical note definitions and add the specific LOINC elements, and just understanding the possible proliferation of all note types. But I hear us saying the necessity for this note is well recognized. As rural primary care, I agree. Moving on to the next, and I'm going to ask us to consider the next three elements as a set, because really there's a theme here. The recommendation is to expand the data element definition across functional status, disability status, and mental cognition status. So our friends at CDC CMS, if you can lead us through these conversations in short order, and then we'll try to dispose of them collectively. So functional status, disability status, and mental cognition status over the next few minutes, and then we'll try to get a consensus rec at the end of that time.
Certainly. So as you notice, all three of these are within the health status assessments data class. The three elements we're concerned with are functional status, disability status, and mental and cognitive status. The ask is basically the same across these, which is to expand the definition of the data element to not only include the specified assessment question, but to also include the responses or results of the assessments in alignment with the PASIO project IG. And the goal here is to be able to include the patient-generated information so that it's something that can be shared, not only across providers, but also with patients and with family and friend care providers who are trusted by the patient to support coordination of care across providers as well as at the home. We think that this kind of detail is necessary for true care coordination, and so we're asking that the definitions be expanded to incorporate the data standards for the responses as they've been outlined in the existing PASIO IGs.
Thank you so much. Any comments from the ISWG? This seems like a fairly straightforward recommendation. Again, expanding
the Make it so.
Yes. So functional status, disability status, mental cognition status, expanding the definition to include the responses in line with the past year project IG. All right. So disposed. And again, there's a lot of work here to do on final recommendations. Thank you so much, our friends at CMS and CDC, for coming back and running through these elements. We're very, very grateful. I believe we have one remaining element that we forgot to discuss, which is the level two health. Well, level two element, I think, was family health history. Mark, am I correct?
That's right. And you also have a recommendation on advanced directive, but you may be thinking of that as a different category. Okay. Happy to go forward with family health history if you'd like.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. So this is basically a repeat of a recommendation that the work group considered and approved last year, recommended to HITACH. HITACH in turn included in its recommendations to ONC. The idea is to include some core level two data elements that are related to patient-generated health data that have been a critical part of care, like family health history. So that's why it's under F data element, but that's just one of the short list of really important items that we could be using to start getting patient-generated health data going. The one thing I've added in the column K that was not before us last year is spotting that the 21st Century Cures Act itself said that the certification criteria should include the patient's ability to electronically communicate patient-reported information. So in those sort of priorities and prioritization criteria, there's statutory support as well. Thank you.
I understand this is a revisiting of elements we've recommended in prior years. So any concerns for moving forth this element, family health history as a recommendation from the ISWG? All right, so disposed. Again, thank you so much, Mark. Just a clarity, so Grace is not here. I believe that we addressed advanced directive last week. I may be wrong. it's been a swarm.
Sarah, there's a small group that worked together the recommendation.
Oh, on the recommendation. Okay, thank you. Okay, yes. Mark, can you help lead us through?
Yes, Grace is sorry she couldn't be here this morning, so I'm pinch hitting. Basically, we've divided the recommendation to a V4 and a V5. So to move forward with advanced directive, focusing on the narrative description and supporting the documentation. But we also in our small group talked about advanced directive as really being sort of a type of a care plan. So additional work, and you'll see this in the opening sentences there, additional work for ONC to incorporate advanced directive with the work group's recommendations on care plan and to begin integrating advanced directive as structured data in the structured aspects of care plan when we get to USCDI V5. Just picking a few particular items, we noted that advanced directive is actually sort of a range of like documents, including POLST and MOLST. So that was my earlier comment. So we're thinking of those, integrating that collectively. Also we provided some justification. Let's take the immediate priority should be to establish the existing on-ramp for documents as we begin to work on structured data for P5. Ricky or Hans, anything I missed?
Nope, I think you covered it. Thank you.
Yep. Nothing from my end. That covered it. Good teamwork here.
Shelley, a question?
Thank you, Sarah.
Of course.
More of a comment. I did bring these questions forward about the care plan to the patient care work group co-chairs and to further discuss how care plan components are represented within USCDI. And they agreed to take a look at it. I don't think it'll be ready for this cycle, but Did want to let you know that I have reached out to the patient care work group about how we would define the care plan data elements within USCDI.
Fantastic. That sounds,
so it sounds like that'll be good for the V5 work.
Mark and I brain sharing. Yes, that sounds like a wonderful thing to integrate into the V5 work. So, you know, we generally approved advanced directive last week. And so approving of this final recommendation with its subtleties as crafted by the subwork group. Any concerns there? Okay. So we have approximately 13 minutes now before public comment. Mostly I just want to say an incredible thank you to the work that went into today and all of the previous weeks to get our to get all the elements that we, the level two elements and the draft USCIV 4 elements disposed of by this work group. It's just been an incredible level of effort, and we're all very grateful, and I am grateful as well. Our next task is really to put in those final recommendations. Al, Naresh, and Mike and I we're working on the template over the weekend and early this week. We have some of the work group, sub work group leads who've drafted final recommendations. There's a lot to do. Remember, we have to focus specifically on anything that's a slight edit. So I am going to ask for volunteers to take time tonight and maybe tomorrow to try to lead into this, because we really want to have a draft of the final report for you all to look at ASAP. So hoping that individuals can lean in and craft those final recommendations in short order. Naresh, any comments or thoughts? Again, this is putting your final recommendation, which is synthesizing work group discussion in L and any elements you heard in the chat, into that column M. Naresh, anything else to add?
We'll work in the background to continue to finish this final recommendations from our end, but would definitely like to take any support that the team has to offer.
Thank you so much. Any other final thoughts on, again, everyone, you know, the lab elements, Hung and Ricky and that whole group, they drafted them all there now in the document. And then there's each of the different subgroups and have them drafted. And Mark, I see you've taken lead in putting some of the elements in, especially those rollovers from last year's ISWG recs. Again, if we can just kind of consider putting those in as a team over the course of the next few days, that would be great. I would be grateful for that help. It looks like we're moving to public comment a little earlier. And so Ike has a question. I'll be happy to go through to confirm. We want them in column M, right? And so anything placed as a final recommendation in the final recommendation column on that Google Sheet, that column M, will then be transcribed by the team. And again, Al, thank you so very much for all your efforts here, into the final recommendation draft that we're working on asynchronously with ONC. So then we can present it back to you. So again, that those final recs, if folks can lean in to put those in both today, tonight, and tomorrow, we would be grateful. I believe we're moving to public comment. Mike?
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks, Sarah. We're going to open up our meeting to the members of the public if they'd like to make a comment. So if you're on Zoom and would like to make that comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press *6. To mute and unmute your line. So we'll pause just for a moment to see if anyone wants to raise their hand. Okay, not seeing any hands raised, Sarah, so I'll turn it back to you. Thank you.
All right, so Al encouraged me to do this. So if we can go to the share drive and actually just start plugging in names of folks who are going to take sections, that would be great, just to kind of get the inertia over. We have, again, at least 10 more minutes of the meeting, so hoping to put those in and get at least ownership of who's drafting what in that column M before we adjourn today. because this is our, after all of the work to review it, this is really the final step so that we can get our report to HITACH. Al, would you mind sharing again? I'm so sorry.
So Sarah, what column do you want us to enter our names in?
If you put your name in column M, which is that final recommendation column, then that will help everybody know that that's a work in progress. All right, so starting from the top, you can, if we scroll over to column M, this is wondering if who can take lead on the final recommendation for the substance non-medication data element. Any from the peanut gallery want to nod in? Or does anybody want to necessarily call out an element that they feel like they're willing to take ownership for? Because I've been trying to fill in the gaps.
Yeah. I'll have opportunity tomorrow to go through a couple of them to give it a spin. Plus, I had a question around some of the general comments that there's one in there that I'll be working on then tomorrow.
Okay, wonderful. I guess what I'm just going to say, given the probably everyone's very worked so hard on this committee, please put your name in column M soon so that at least we can see who's working on what so that we spare labor for the collective. We can go forward from there. I do want to revisit because I realized that there was one other data element that was an addition from the lab group and there was consensus on the recommendation, but I realized I don't think the ISWG had visibility on that. So if we can quickly move to discussing the lab test kit UDI, and my apologies, it was a late breaking addition in an email, I believe it started last weekend. Raj or Hung and or Hans, do you want to discuss the disposition of the lab test kit UDI?
I'll kick it off. I think there is harmonization now on the recommendation that's been stated in the spreadsheet for the test kit UDI. I think there's a recognition that while there is some FDA guidance on universal identifiers for devices, this particular data element isn't as well established. I tried to make the argument that it's going to be a requirement for comparability of results and therefore kind of a foundational data element for laboratory data interoperability. But I think Hans has come up with a reasonable path moving forward. So I'll defer to him on how we've constructed this.
Thank you, Hung. And it is a question of different pieces of the puzzle fitting together, where we see when it comes to test kit UDI is that when you use the FDA definition of UDI, the components that are in there, which would include a formal device identifier, formal serial number, manufacturer, is challenging to obtain that consistently. But if you start with device name and manufacturer, that becomes much more widely there. So that's where in the recommendation, we thought we suggest to focus on that. At the same point in time, there are opportunities that as that's being defined and say, this is the minimum to start to support, to also be more clear about what is it really that we're after, that might not be in USCDI, but with appropriate documentation in the respective standards, you really should, or start to look at that. We want to see that we can help everybody moving forward, so that the entire chain from the analyzer, the test kit used, whether it's a machine in a lab, whether it's a manual executed test, et cetera, that we can start to get it in from the get-go and then begin to ripple that through. So it's balancing between if we go for that end goal right now, maybe a step too much, but if we don't take a step, that's not good enough. So that's where we thought is that there's a good in-between to get it going and then start to be able to build on that and get different parties to contribute to making their piece work in order to do this, because it's going to be an LIS, IVD, EHR, other systems, that need to fall in place to make this work.
Thank you so much, everyone involved in that conversation. I know there was a lot of work to get consensus on that. Any thoughts, any concerns from the ISWG on, and again, my apologies for forgetting this as part of our, it was late breaking. Moving forward, the recommendation, if we can go back to the work group recommendation, I think the test kit universal device identifier moving over, Hans, I believe the recommendation is to, if we can scroll over, Al, I think we're missing exactly seeing what the consensus statement was. Hans, can you just say it out loud? Because I think it's the device name and manufacturer data, correct?
Yes, it's the device name and the manufacturer. And then the rationale has that wider concept of we need to be able to work with everybody to get this done.
Great. And moving forward to full UDI in time. Yep. Any concerns with that, colleagues? Thank you so much. So disposed. All right. Wonderful. Okay. So I believe, again, the yeoman's work for the next few days is to put those final recommendations in. I'm going to keep on requesting that folks volunteer, put their names in column M, just because, again, if you claim it, it'll make sure that there isn't duplicate labor happening. And then Naresh and I and Noan C will be moving those final recommendations into the final draft of the recommendation, and we'll start reviewing that over the course of next weeks. Any other final thoughts before we adjourn today? Naresh, any other final thoughts?
You covered everything, Sarah.
Okay. Incredibly grateful for the just the tremendous work of the last period of time. It's now our job to put that all of that effort into the final recommendation. And so that's our push for the next couple weeks. Thank you so much, friends, and we will see you next week.